Hello, and welcome to the Mount Brook Baptist Bible Reading Plan podcast. I'm Mark Rector, and it is my pleasure reading God's Word to you today. I have the privilege of serving on staff here at the church. My family and I have been here for 2.5 years, my wife Anne and our beautiful children Josh, Evelyn, Witt, and Julia. You might see me around on Sunday mornings serving in several different ways, but we love this body of believers and this community here at Mount Brook Baptist Church, and we are so fortunate to be able to be here. In this Advent devotional guide, we are journeying through the story of the Bible and looking at the ways we see light break through the darkness from creation to new creation. Today is Friday, December 6th, and I'm reading from Exodus chapter 12, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation today. Hear now God's word to you today. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice, one animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat a whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of this first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and top of the door frames of the houses where they eat the animal. That same night, they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole animal, including the head, legs, and internal organs, must be roasted over a fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. These are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed, wear your sandals, and carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorposts will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. This is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast. On the first day of the festival, remove every trace of yeast from your homes. Anyone who eats bread made with yeast during the 7 days of the festival will be cut off from the community of Israel. On the first day of the festival, and again on the 7th day, all the people must observe an official day for holy assembly. No work of any kind may be done on these days, except in the preparation of food. Celebrate this festival of unleavened bread, for it will remind you that I brought your forces out of the land of Egypt on this very day. This festival will be a permanent law for you. Celebrate this day from generation to generation. The bread you eat must be made without yeast from the evening of the 14th day of the first month until the evening of the 21st day of that month. During those 7 days, there must be no trace of yeast in your homes. Anyone who eats anything made with yeast during this week will be cut off from the community of Israel. These regulations apply both to the foreigners living among you and to the native-born Israelites. During those days, you must not eat anything made with yeast. Wherever you live, eat only bread made without yeast. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel together and said to them, "Go, pick out a lamb or a young goat for each of your families, and slaughter the Passover animal. Drain the blood into a basin. Then take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it into the blood. Brush the hyssop across the top and sides of the door frames of your houses. And no one may go out through the door until morning, for the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and sides of your door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. Remember, these instructions are a permanent law that you and your descendants must observe forever. When you enter the land the Lord has promised to give you, you will continue to observe this ceremony. Then your children will ask, "What does this ceremony mean?" And you will reply, "It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, for he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt. And though he struck the Egyptians, he spared our families." When Moses had finished speaking, all the people bowed down to the ground and worshiped. So the people of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded through Moses and Aaron. And that night, at midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn sons in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn son of the prisoner in the dungeon. Even the firstborn of their livestock were killed. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the people of Egypt woke up during the night, and loud wailing was heard throughout the land of Egypt. There was not a single house where someone had not died. Thank you for reading alongside me today. I hope that you think about these three questions as you reflect on this passage in the days to come. The first, what do we learn about God? Second, what do we learn about people? And third, where and how does this passage point you to the good news of the gospel? So I have a question for you. Are you a glass half empty or a glass half full kind of person? Maybe it depends on the context of a particular situation. As I sat in the stands and watched Tua Tagovailoa take a sack on 1st and 10, I have to admit, I wasn't very confident that a walk-off touchdown to win the national championship would happen just moments later. But when my dad was diagnosed with cancer for the third time several years ago, I had a confidence the Lord would provide for my dad and for my family because he had healed him of cancer twice before. No matter what life may throw at us, we have a choice as Christians. We can either fix our eyes on the Lord, or we can let our eyes wander elsewhere. No doubt that's easier to say or to type on a Word document than it actually is to live. But a beautiful truth that we can hold on to is that our God is in control, and his ways are better than we can sometimes fully know. Exodus 12 is part story and part instruction, describing the current situation of the Israelites, God's chosen people. The Lord has been working for the good of the Israelites from the beginning of the book of Exodus. God has looked out for them in the midst of slavery and oppression. He's called Moses to lead them, and he's promised deliverance for them. And now, by chapter 12, God has sent the 10th and the final plague to Egypt in order to get Pharaoh's attention, the killing of all firstborn sons throughout the land. In this passage, the Israelites have the same choice we have. They can either let their eyes and hearts wander elsewhere, or they can fix them on the Lord. One theme the book of Exodus makes abundantly clear is that the Lord will provide for his people. In the killing of the firstborn sons and the Lord's passing over the Israelites, we see clearly how God provides for and helps his people. Because of the Lord's grace and kindness, the expectation is that the Israelites will remember and celebrate the Passover for generations to come. So with this choice in mind, how has the Lord provided for you? I hope this Advent season spurs you to remember, to reflect, and to celebrate the many ways that God has provided for you. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, King David sings, then the storms of life would have consumed him. If God is for us, who can be against us? Exclaims the Apostle Paul. God delivered on his promise in sending his Son Jesus Christ to earth. He is indeed the hopes and fears of all the years met in him. And in doing so, the Lord did not pass over his one and only Son in order to extend salvation to us all. Thanks be to God.